Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're still talking about investment. Joining me in the studio is Jesse Liu, the Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income at Principal Malaysia. How are you, Jesse?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me.
It's always important to talk about not just investment and, I guess, CIOs. It's also important to talk about fixed income and the element that rides with it. Is it, correct for us to assume that fixed income is going to see an improvement this year, considering that interest rates are actually rising everywhere across the globe as well as in Malaysia?
Well, I think firstly, interest rate has been rising since last year. So that's where we see weakness in fixed income markets. And this year it has been relatively stronger, actually, because there were expectations that that rise in interest rate will probably pause or stop closer to second half of the 2023. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think that's where the rally is coming from the bond markets.
And of course, we want to look also into the changes that has been happening, not just locally, but the global economic environment.
Correct.
Over the past maybe 3 months.
Correct.
And maybe into, you know, peering to the future a bit, what to expect.
I think what we are seeing broadly is that inflation continues to be an issue. With central bankers around the world, and particularly in the developed markets. So in that sense, if I were to break it down, if we look into US, inflation is roughly what they call sticky right now, and it's above the average rate that the Fed is always looking at. In Europe and in UK, it is still high, particularly in the UK, where inflation kind of remained at above 8%. So in that sense, I would say that inflation is trending down, but it still remains sticky in the upside. With that, central bankers will most likely keep their policy rates as it is, or hike it a little bit more. But I won't see the amount of jumbo hikes that we saw in 2022 to repeat itself in 2023.
So you would factor in a little bit more hike, at least around the globe.
Correct.
What about Malaysia? Were you surprised that they held the rates very recently?
No, actually, not really. I think Malaysia has seen their inflation trending down already, so it's a good sign. The worry that I think Bank Negara would have right now is two-pronged. Number one is that global growth is slowing down, but it's supported by the Malaysian economy domestically. So to keep this domestic economic activity robust, I think it would be understandable to keep interest rate fairly around this level.
Would you classify our bond market as having a weakness right now?
No, I won't say that. If we look into performance, it's done quite well for most of the bond funds that I monitor, at least on my side. So if I were to propose for an asset allocation, I would still believe that bond asset class to be very strong, largely because we have a correction in last year, and it actually brought yields up to very high levels at this point in time. So an investor which buy into bonds, not only they have the opportunity of having a high yield carry, if growth actually does slow down, we do expect central banks around the world to also start cutting rates too. That would give bonds an extra boost in terms of performance.
What about ringgit bonds in particular? Do you feel that the weakness of the ringgit is going to impact the ringgit bonds?
No. So ringgit bonds have been performing well. So in that sense, I believe that my thesis for ringgit bond performance is the same. Really, yeah.
And of course, taking ourselves away from the ringgit bonds, but still on the ringgit, do you feel that the correlation between the recent weakness of the ringgit is going to impact the fixed market altogether?
No. So let me just elaborate on that.
Please.
Answer.
Yeah.
So when we look at ringgit bond performance and the ringgit itself, it also has to do with interest rate differentials. So if we compare ringgit rates versus developed market rates, developed markets have been hiking interest rates more aggressively than Malaysia. So in that sense, if you have investors positioning some investments into hard currency, whether if it's pounds or US dollar, it is something that is not unusual, something that we've seen before. In this sense, if I were to put that, there is a correlation there, but the correlation is, I would say, particularly high, maybe last year, where we saw emerging market currencies sell off and bond yields start to also sell off too. But this time around, I think there are some correlation, but the other part whereby ringgit can be is actually pressured is more on exporters probably, that's not converting back their proceeds that they're receiving. So in that sense, I think there is correlation, but the correlation is not always spot on.
Okay, and of course, I want to harken back to that whole possible pause of interest rate hikes, not just our own OPR and the recent MPC meeting, but more of globally as well, what would be some of the risks associated when it comes to central banks pausing or ever so slightly increasing these kind of rates for the rest of the year?
So if it's a pause, then I think it will generally be positive for the entire world in the sense whereby risk assets would most likely rally. If there's going to be hikes, I would expect US to probably do one or two more hikes for the year. Anything above that, then you will see market pricing a little bit more, interest rates higher, and therefore bond performance would probably lag behind a little bit. Where I think the risk is not, probably not in the US or Malaysia. I think the risk will probably be more in Europe, whereby in the UK, where you still see interest, you still see inflation fairly high. In that sense, if we look in specifically in the UK, they are talking about six hikes from now until next year, which I think it is a worry for the bond market over there.
Of course, people invest in various asset classes for various reasons, but would you assume right now that more investment capital is moving into equities, into cash management businesses as opposed to fixed market? Or do you think that the fixed income does still see that kind of allure for investors to come in quite strongly, at least for this year?
Oh, I do see that. Again, largely because yields are generally higher, right? Mm. And for the past 2 months, let's say May and June, we saw quite a sell down in the US yields and also somewhat in Malaysian yields. So in that sense, it's actually an opportunity for investors to position into it. I would also draw probably anecdotal historical evidence that I saw last year. So last year when we had that major sell down in the Malaysian market, we saw yields really backing up quite high to an average portfolio having a yield of more than 5%. Mm. So when you have that kind of levels, an investor that goes into a bond market, it actually is quite protected because yields is already very high and it kind of buffers whatever volatility on the price of the bond itself. Mm. So in that sense, if you were a bond investor, let's say in May last year, after it sold off, well, year to date, you are doing very good returns on a one-year basis. So in that sense, I think now is also a good level because bond yields have backed up again for the past 2 months. And if I were an investor, I would think asset allocation is sensible to be, it's sensible to have a portion of your asset allocation into bonds.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the idea. Don't bet everything right now in one day. Yeah. Let's switch gears now. Let's look at politics. Both of us are not political commentators, but we both look at politics very closely when it comes to the investment landscape. In Malaysia, at least, there's these state elections that's coming up internationally. Joe Biden is in the frame. The US election is also in focus right now. And of course, that could bring about some impact in terms of fixed income. Where do you see the political risk lie? We'll start with Malaysia and the state elections. Right. How does this is going to impact the bond market? Is it positive, negative, and why?
I think it's going to be neutral for the bond market, largely because my personal expectation is that there's not going to be major changes in terms of the ruling parties in those states. If let's say it remains as in what I expect it to be, I think the big question will be, it will take away the big question of fiscal policy for Malaysia, right? It will be intact and therefore no changes. I think it will be neutral. Mm-hmm. I don't expect surprises largely because these states are pretty much strongholds for the incumbents. Mm. So in that sense, that's where my thesis lies.
And of course, we're looking at the federal budget to be tabled within the next 3 months. That is also in focus. Right. And of course, whatever that is going to be tabled in 3 months' time is definitely going to hinge upon this particular state elections and whether or not the thinking has to change within MOF or remain the same. Mm. Is this also a risk factor to think about when it comes to the bond markets?
Not really. So if I were to look at Malaysia's budget trajectory, it should be going lower as we move along in time, largely because we have had several years of high budget deficits because of the COVID spending and so on and so forth. So it's only sensible for any government, not only just Malaysia, but any government in the world to really dial this down. If we don't, I think if any government that doesn't do that, then there's a risk, of course, if you run a high budget deficit, it kind of inflames inflation moving forward. So in that sense, I think for any government, they should continue to consolidate their deficits.
Okay, of course, consolidating deficits has been the main objective of the government of the day. Not many governments can do that. We've had a few prime ministers, they attempted to do it, not with little success to speak of. And of course, there's a lot of circumstantial, environmental issues that is happening, including COVID, including change of government, many more. Do you feel that the political risk, therefore, remains to be high? How does the investors now look at the fixed income market, considering that the political situation is there? And do you feel that the political risk has been abated?
Well, I think it's not high at all for the risk for fixed income. Generally, I don't think it's going to change much in terms of the fiscal deficit for the government. So in that sense, no, I think it's a fairly stable market in that sense.
Okay, let's shift our focus to the US. As I was mentioning, election is in the air in the US, and of course, some economic data that comes across, including inflation, remaining sticky despite the number of rate hikes that has been happening there in the Fed. Yes, as you alluded to earlier, the inflation numbers have gone down a bit. Jobs data have come in, and of course, jobs data are showing improvements in terms of how many jobs they have put in the market, at least for the recent months. Do you feel that that is still in focus on how inflation is going to be managed moving forward? Is economic data going to bring about negative impacts on the bond market in the US?
Well, I think it's important to note that inflation is not only has been driven by a few factors. Number one is that we had a lot of fiscal spending, or the US had a lot of fiscal spending over the COVID period. So, for example, if we look at disposable income over in the US, it has risen substantially from $1 trillion to about $4 trillion in terms of if we are capturing just the cash and the currencies that they have in their banks. So a lot of the inflation that I see right now actually comes from not only the easy money that we had previously, but also this fiscal spending that we have. If we look into America right now today, I believe that this risk probably is going to subside as we move forward. But it's going to be a slow, it's not going to be a fall on the cliff, a fall off the cliff when it comes to inflation, but it can remain high. So in that sense, I would say that the bond market over there probably would still provide a very high yield kind of environment, and therefore it will be attractive for investors for bonds over there.
Treasury yields have been up as well, right?
Correct.
And what do you make of that?
Last 2 months, there were worry when strong data came in that inflation is going to go down as fast as the Fed would hope for. So in that sense, there was some correction in terms of expectations. So what market was expecting in, let's say, March, was actually about 4 to 5 cuts in federal funds rate. But that reversed back to about 1 to 2 cuts. So in that sense, that's what market priced in, a lower rate cut, and therefore bond markets were performing weaker in the past 2 months. So with that backed up, and this morning we had quite a strong data for inflation, quite a weak data for inflation, means inflation came in lower than market expectations. That's where you saw maybe investors are going to price in, maybe there's going to be a possibility of higher cuts as we move forward into 2024.
Still expecting higher cuts? Is that what investors are pricing in?
Yeah, that's what American investors are pricing into the Fed funds rate.
So they're not done yet? Oh my God. Okay, let's look at some of the markets around the globe. I'm not too sure if you can comment, I suppose, on Japan, for instance, Europe, the UK, as you mentioned earlier. Inflation rate is actually quite high, more high there than the rest of Europe. How do you make of this kind of shifting environments when it comes to the bond markets, global bond markets right now?
So, of course, obviously, if you see a market whereby there's going to be more rate hikes happening, you want to avoid those kind of rates markets. So, in that sense, I think we are underweight in terms of some of the developed market bonds. But I think countries like Japan They are quite sticky with their yield curve control or how they manage their fiscal policy and monetary policy. In that sense, I think these are the markets that's more stable. So there are a few differences between those markets. I would say stable markets will more be like the Japanese bond markets. UK will be one of those that I would say that's standing out right now because they still have like 4 or 6 rate hikes that investor expects to come in the coming months.
Institutional investors do behave differently compared to retail investors. Yep. And of course, with retail, inflation is going up, discretionary spending is going down. We're looking at how they need to manage issues on job security. Those are the kind of elements when it comes to retail investors. Institutional investors are looking at diversifying their portfolio. We're looking at some of the pension funds trying to grow their exposure internationally. Doesn't matter fixed income or equities, doesn't really matter as long as they can grow there. Our own EPF is trying to fight its own home bias, home market bias. So these are landscape that is undeniable that is going to be impacting your growth area as well. So how do you, approach this with your customers, both insta and retail, when it comes to trying to get them more excited and involved in fixed income?
Oh, well, I think fixed income offers a different proposition from existing asset classes as well as the new ones. I think one of the things that fixed income remains to be is a public is a publicly traded asset in a sense whereby you have liquidity that is actually more than your alternative assets, for example.
Yeah.
So when you talk about, let's say, private lending, private debt, they don't tend to have like liquidity period like they have in stocks or bonds, right? So in that sense, it still has this liquidity advantage as compared to the new assets. The new assets are typically very long in terms of liquidity realization. It can be 6 months, depending if you buy a property, it can even be more than that. So I think when an investor approaches this, or institutional investor approaches this, I suppose they have already identified what's the cash flow that they need to build a holistic portfolio. So allocating in those less liquid assets, generally they do have higher yields. It makes sense because they do have that holding power in that sense. But when they look into the publicly traded assets, that's where it becomes a little bit more interesting because if yields are higher right now, it makes sense for them to own up a little bit more on the safer assets. Because naturally, if you are in a high yield environment, there will be questions about whether or not there are going to be casualties in the real economy. Mm. High yield, it can mean that some of the weak companies will probably face more challenges moving down the road. And if it remains high, then this challenge would probably accumulate as we go on in time. So in this sense, I think if we are looking not only in the short term, but medium to long term, that's where it becomes attractive for fixed income, right? Because we can't really time whenever an economy will start to drop off, right? So in that sense, if you are into fixed income and you are capturing that high yield, it kind of gives that protection to your overall portfolio.
Let's look at issuers right now, government and corporates alike. Do you feel that the mood is there for fundraising right now in terms of fixed income? Do you think that we're going to see a lot more issuers right now entering the market, at least for this year?
I think they do. Yeah, we're going to see a lot more.
Locally
and internationally, I think we will see a lot more.
So locally, more ringgit or...?
Locally, more ringgit. Generally, local markets, we only raise ringgits anyway, right? So in that sense, I would say that there are projects, let's say, if needs to be run, they will need to tap the market and to fund these projects.
And you feel that the subscription rate is going to be high as well?
Yes, I definitely do. Liquidity.
Confident like you. Okay, go on.
Well, it's I would say there's a lot of demand in the market. There's a lot of demand in the market. So, for example, if you look into the AAA, the government guarantees, whenever it gets to the street, right, it gets oversubscribed dramatically.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think I don't think there's going to be a dry up in terms of demand for these bonds.
Sovereign?
Sovereigns, yes. You will have a demand into it too. Well, I would say there's always a cycle in terms of
sovereign. There's a demand, but will sovereign issue bonds this year?
They would still have to. Of course, it's not going to be as high as the first half of the year.
Yeah, that's why.
It's not going to be higher as the first half of the year. And actually, it really depends on which tenure they want to issue those bonds.
But so I think 3 years, 5 years.
3 years, 5 years. Yeah, I think they would still be issuing. They have a calendar that when they're going to issue anyway, right? So I think demand is still going to be there. And it's also attractive for whether it's your insurance or your pension funds, right?
Yeah.
Because you know it's a no capital charge for insurance, for example.
Principal guarantee.
Yeah. So it'll be okay.
Fantastic. Final comments, Jesse, when it comes to investors thinking about the bond market right now?
So I think what is really in our mind most of the time is we read the news a lot, and a lot of times when
you you read the news from Extra Money.
And I think a lot of the volatility that you see in markets is really on how people look at comments in terms of what the central bankers say. You know, whenever...
There's even an art to it.
Sorry?
There's an art to, you know, deciphering either the Fed or the previous MPC statement.
Correct. And those things can be those messages that they send can actually translate to volatility in the market. So I'd say as an investor, one should look at a more longer term view in terms of what they expect the real economy to be. So if they are looking at, for example, in my line, right, if I'm looking to the bond market, generally we have to look at interest rates. And the way I look at interest rate is that I think there has to be some topside to where how much US can hike interest rates, or even how much Bank Negara will be hiking interest rates. I think it's a top already in that sense. And I take a more medium term to long term view in terms of those interest rate views. And with those views, actually, I translate into the portfolio. That's why we think that, you know, that's where bond markets can, you know, benefit from it. Because if you're at the top of interest rate cycle, and if it does go down, that's where bonds would tend to perform fairly well. Because, yeah, generally, bond performs fairly well when interest rates starts to go down.
Yeah, right? Of course.
Yeah, so we have to have that view. So the part whereby it becomes a little more challenging is that on and off, you would have people quoting certain things in the media, whether what they their views are on interest rates or how many hikes, so on and so forth. So it's important for investors to understand the economy and how many rates they think that really can go. I think it's fair to say that all of us don't believe the interest rate in US can go, let's say, 10% and so on and so forth. There has to be some floor, some ceiling somewhere. Yeah, so I think it's important to have that in mind, have that in view.
If you were to be a pundit, where would be the ceiling be?
For US or
for US?
I would say right now 5.5%.
Yeah.
That is like the top for them.
Yeah.
And I would say even though if inflation remains sticky, I think it's important to allow for monetary policy to really seep into the real economy and let it play out. Because, you know, monetary policy works with a lag. So it's important to let that lag actually filter through first.
Thank you very much. That was Jess Liu, the CIO of Fixed Income at Principal. We're looking at the conversation when it comes to Principal Malaysia being a series. If you look back into some of our conversations previously, I spoke with Jesse's colleague, Patrick, when it comes to equities and, of course, general idea of investment. That would be applicable to you if you're a retail investor as well. So do check out Principal Malaysia on astron.com. Find out more on their website as well. Just head off to Principal website to see the kind of offerings that they have. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.